Thank you, Mike. I had invited him to come and play the piano for us today. Marty is at the cabin in Virginia, and David and Susanna are on vacation. Actually, they're on their way back. Actually, when I texted him, I said, "Do you know of anybody who could play the piano for us?" And he said he would. And that was a blessing. Thank you, Mike. It's good to have you with us. Let's go back to the book of Zechariah. This morning we have begun a study in the book of Zechariah. As you know, Judah had been taken into captivity for 70 years because they left the Lord. They fell into idolatry. They began to worship false gods. They no longer looked to the Christ of God who would come. Their hope was not in the grace of God through the coming Messiah and his substitutionary sacrifice. They began to offer their offerings and their sacrifices not to God, but to other gods, and that's with a little g. It wasn't that they weren't religious. They were very religious. But it was wrong religion, false religion. And therefore, God sent them into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. But God remembers his people. Amongst those that were taken into captivity, there was a remnant according to the election of grace. God never forgets his people. This man, whose name is Zechariah, his name means Jehovah remembers. He always remembers his covenant. He always remembers his people. And he always remembers his promises to his people. So all the time that they were in Babylonian captivity, God didn't forget them. At last, he was pleased to raise up another empire that conquered the Babylonian empire. And then within that new empire called the Persian Empire, actually the Medes and the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire, within that, he raised up a mighty king. His name was Cyrus. And as the scripture says, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand, and he turns it as the rivers of water, any which way he wants to. He turned the hand of Cyrus to be merciful to the Jews. And he said to them, "Go back home. Go back to Jerusalem." But that wasn't all he said, because God instructed him to say more than that. He said, "You go back and you rebuild your temple. You rebuild the walls of the city, rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and worship your God, for he is God." What a good admonition. Worship God. Go back. Go back home and go back to God. Go back to the sacrifices that you offered to him. And so a bunch of them did. Over 42,000 of them went back. One of the men who went back, who was an older man at that time, was Haggai. A much younger fella, he was just a boy. was this man, Zechariah. And immediately the people began to rebuild the brazen altar and they start worshiping God again. Start offering the sacrifices. Listen, if you understand the tabernacle, understand the temple, and understand those truths that God taught to the forefathers of Israel, it was this: God can only be approached by a bloody sacrifice that pictured the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. And therefore, he instituted this. He said, every morning, all of you get together at 9 a.m. and offer the morning lamb as a sacrifice to God. Listen, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Now, that morning sacrifice didn't put away anybody's sins, but it pictured what God's lamb would do when he would come. He'd put away the sins of his people. Every morning, offer a lamb. Every afternoon, 3 p.m., offer another lamb. That's the only way you can draw near to God. You want to worship God? Would you be accepted by God? I'm talking about all of us here this morning and those of you who are watching. Would you be accepted by God? Would you be received by God? It's got to be on the basis of an innocent victim dying in your stead. Something's got to be done about sin. And you see, all of those offerings that Israel offered, those folks, when they got back to Jerusalem, the first thing they did, they built the brazen altar, they rebuilt it, and they began to reinstitute the sacrifices because this is what they understood. It's the only way to come to God. In addition, during the day, various Israelites would have brought their own personal sacrifices unto the Lord for their sins. And when they brought those animals to die on that altar, they were saying in effect, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should be put up on this brazen altar. But I put this animal that I bring in my stead, I bring it to die on account of my sins, and I look forward to, I believe in, I have confidence in the Lamb of God who is going to come, that seed of the woman who is going to fully and finally put away the sins of all that God gave him, the covenant of grace. He's going to die under the wrath of God, but he's going to be raised again. And he's going to be exalted. And that's what an Israelite, that's in his what he was saying in his heart when he came and brought his sacrifice to the priest. Well, things went well for a good bit, but then opposition arose. And it came from the Samaritans. And they began to mock. They began to make light of what these Jews were doing. You've come back to rebuild the walls? You come back to rebuild your city? What are you doing there? What are you burning on that altar there? Well, it's a lamb. It's a goat. It's a bullock. It's 2 turtle doves. We bring this on account of our sins because God said this is how we approach him. And such was the mockery of those Samaritans, they stopped offering the sacrifices. And they stopped building the walls. And they stopped building the temple. They stopped rebuilding the city. And it didn't stop for just a little bit. 18 years. There was no building. No building. It's like the people they got so discouraged, they just stopped. They just quit. Too much opposition. Too much at stake here. It's too costly for us will just cease offering the sacrifices. Well, God raised up an older preacher, first of all, Haggai. Now keep this in mind. He didn't start preaching. He didn't start prophesying until 18 years after he got back and the rest of them got back from Babylonian captivity back into Jerusalem. 18 years. And he began to preach to encourage the people. And he preached to the people, come back. Let's go back to the Lord. We're way off base here. We left him. He didn't leave us. God's still right where he was. God's still on his throne. God still reigns. He's still gracious. He's still merciful. We're the problem. And he encouraged the people to begin again. Let's worship God again. What do you say? Let's worship God again. And then 2 months after he began preaching, and he only preached for about 6 months. He had a pretty short ministry. But 2 months after he began preaching, God raised up this man, Zechariah. And he said the same thing that Haggai said. You see, all of God's preachers see eye to eye. All of God's preachers preach the very same message. Our only hope is in the Lord God of glory. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can receive us. He's the only one who can make us whole. And he does it through the substitute of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the message was, come back to the Lord. Let's come back. Did you notice? You don't have to turn to this. I can find it quickly. In that passage that I asked Matt to read to us. Here's what he said three times. Here's what the psalmist said. It's a psalm of Asaph. He said, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Here's what's got to happen. The Lord, if we're going to return to the Lord, he's got to return us. He's got to turn us. Again, he said the same thing in verse 14, Psalm 8. He says, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. And then again in the last verse, verse 19 of Psalm 80, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The message of Haggai and Zechariah was, turn to the Lord. The message of Asaph and of all the scriptures is this, if we're going to turn to the Lord, the only way we'll ever turn to the Lord is if he returns us. He's got to do the turning of us. You see, we're under the grace of God. The only way we'll ever turn is if he is merciful to us. Notice here in Zechariah chapter 1. Look at verse 3. I'll just back up to verse 1. Zechariah chapter 1. Look at verse 2. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. That's an interesting expression, sore displeased. It means he's very, very displeased. In fact, the root word for both sore and displeased is identical. The Lord hath been displeased. The Lord's not pleased with folks who don't worship him by means of the appointed sacrifice. He can't be pleased with you. Therefore, verse 3, therefore saying to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me. The only hope we've got is to turn to the Lord, to turn to Christ. Now this affects both believers and unbelievers. First of all, unbelievers, unconverted. Your only hope of salvation, your only hope of forgiveness is to turn to the Lord, your God, and you can only turn to Him through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would turn us, would turn you. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, you were a sheep going astray, but you have been returned to the shepherd. Who returned you? Who turned you? Who must turn you? You see, the scripture says in Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're going the wrong way, folks. We're going the wrong way. And the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord has made to meet upon the head of the scapegoat of our Lord Jesus Christ the iniquities of us all. We're going the wrong way. Our Lord described it this way, on the broad road that leads to destruction. We're going the wrong way. Those of you who are yet lost in sin, who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not received Him as prophet, priest, and king, those to whom God has not been gracious, you are lost, you're going the wrong way, and the Savior says, return to me. So how can I return? I've never been there. We went the wrong way in Adam. Our only hope's to go the right way, go to Christ. Preacher, what must I do? I'm a sinful person. I'm ungodly. The Word of God says to me very clearly my condition. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Preacher, what am I supposed to do? Especially in light of the fact that God is absolutely holy. Holy is the sparkling jewel in the crown of God's attributes. In fact, I would say the holiness of God is more than an attribute. It's His very nature. It affects all that He does. What other characteristic of God is ever repeated three times? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. He cannot accept anything that is depraved, sinful, polluted. Well, then how can I come to God? Through Christ, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And here's what Zechariah, he calls, and I call to you who know not the Savior. I say, turn. Here's what the Lord says, turn ye unto me. That's not complicated. You're going the wrong way. Turn unto me, he says. I think of the prodigal son. Wasted his living. All of his inheritance, wasted his money rather on riotous living, the scripture says. And then the scripture says he came to himself. That's the Spirit of God working within a man. And he said to himself, in essence, I'm such a fool. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going back. I'm going to return to the Father. That's what, by the grace of God, you've got to do. Now, you hear me. All of us have gone astray. We're like that prodigal son. Oh, that the Spirit of God would work within our hearts and convict us. I'm going the wrong way. And you continue the route that you're going. Oh, you'll arrive at a destination, but it's not one where you want to go to. You'll be separated from God forever. separated from life and light. The only hope is, return ye unto me, God says. Turn to me. How can I come to God? Through the Lord Jesus. That prodigal son said, I'm going home. I'm going home. And you know what he discovered? Even before he got there, there's the father who had his arms wide open to receive him. Because he loved him. Am I speaking to somebody this morning here or on the internet? God has convicted you of your awful transgressions against him. And you understand, to a degree, God's absolutely holy. He can't receive you unless you're holy. Did you know that? You say, how in the world can I be holy when I'm a sinner? I drink iniquity like water. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are holy and righteous in him. And in him, God accepts sinners. No way, no other way to be accepted by God except in Christ. Does this fit you? Am I talking to somebody this morning and you say, Jim, I get what you're saying. I'm going the wrong way. Oh God, turn me. Turn me and I shall be turned. And I'll tell you, you'll know if God's doing a work in you because you'll turn to Christ. The Savior said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Can you come to Christ? That's not complicated. You say, you preachers make things so difficult, make things so complicated. No. The Lord said, turn ye unto me. That's not difficult to understand what he's saying. Turn ye unto me. Not turn ye to the church. Not turn ye to the Ten Commandments. Not turn ye to the rules and regulations of religion. Turn ye unto me. That's what God said. Oh, that God would work a work of grace in your heart. And notice what he says in verse 4. He says, don't you be like your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. Turn away from these gods that can't save you. Turn away from this Jesus who needs your permission to save you. Turn away from these false gods. Look unto me and be ye saved, saith your God. I am the Lord. If nobody else can help you. Nobody else can save you. You see, here's what the message of sovereign grace does. It backs us up in a corner and says to us, there's no way out except in the Lord. And then you run to him. And you'll find a father who is very welcoming to you through the Lord Jesus. So this is, it's a message to those who are unconverted, but it's also a message to the people of God who, and sadly, the people of God can become somewhat indifferent, at times somewhat cold. It's a sad fact. So we're all on fire for the Lord. Really? You know what it means for your love to grow cold? What's the cure? Lord says, return to me. Come back to me. Are all those Jews in Jerusalem? What were we supposed to do? And they gather together and they hear Haggai preach. And then they hear Zechariah preach. And the very first message Zechariah preaches is, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Listen to him. Turn ye unto me. People of God who've grown cold, maybe a little indifferent. And listen, We all have our times of coldness, sadly. That's just the way we are. Don't you realize the war of the natures within you as a child of God? The war of the new nature, the new man and the old man. You know the struggle. You know something about that. Paul did. Romans chapter 7, he said, the good that I would do, I don't do, and then what I don't want to do, that's what I do. We know about these things. And sometimes it's like the evil kind of controls us much too long. Well, the Lord said in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. Grace has dominion over you. And the Lord uses His Word and the grace of God, the grace of the message of the gospel, to draw us back in. And the Lord says, come back to me. Come back to me. That's where you got off base. That's where you went wrong. To all of these Jewish people, you know why you got into captivity? Because your love went cold. And now here you built the brazen altar, you start worshiping again, but people made fun of you, and you stopped. What'd you quit for? I got discouraged. We all get discouraged. There's not anybody in here who doesn't know something about the spiritual ebbs and flows of your life. And the Lord said, here's the cure. Turn ye unto me and do it now. Do it now. There's no other hope for any of us. Look what he says in verse 4. Oh, and let me just say this. In verse 3, he says, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. You turn to me, I'll turn to you. Now look at verse 4. Don't be as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried. Well, what did they cry? Look at the middle of verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. That was their message. You see, all of God's preachers down through the ages have been preaching the same thing. Our only hope is in the Lord. Come to the Lord. Amen. But here's their problem. And here's some of us have got this problem. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me. Will you hear what the Lord says? Will you hearken to what the Lord says? And the only way we will ever hearken to what the Lord says is if He gives us ears to hear what He has to say. See, here's our problem. All of us have a natural problem. We don't want to hear what the Lord has to say. And really, this has been the issue with the Israelites, with the Jews. This is one of the reasons that they wound up in captivity. And Jeremiah preached 40 years. 40 years. And he told them, stop listening to these false preachers. 40 years he warned them, you're listening to the wrong voices. You're listening to men who put the responsibility totally on you, and if you don't do it, it won't get done. Stop listening to those voices. But they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't hearken unto me. Here's our problem. It is one of sin and one of absolute rebellion against God. Christ said about the Jews, He said to them, "And ye will not come unto me that you might have life." Where's life? It's in Christ, everlasting life. Forgiveness? Well, what's the issue then? We won't come. We won't turn. Well, preacher, if by nature we won't come and we can't come, what's our hope? Our hope is in the fact that though you cannot come to the Lord, He draws people by His mighty grace. So the Savior said, "No man can come to me." That's what we're talking about, coming to Christ, right? That's what we're talking about, coming to Christ. "No man can come to me except," oh, I'm thankful that word's in there. It doesn't just say, "No man can come to me," and then that's the end of the statement. Well, that leaves us absolutely hopeless. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me." He sent me to be the Savior. He sent me to be the substitute. He sent me the Lamb of God to lay down my life to satisfy His justice. No man can come to the Father except by me.
Amen.
And He says, and the Lord has to draw you. Oh, draw me now, Lord. That ought to be the cry of all of us. Don't you think that's right? Lord, draw me. Draw me to Christ. Draw me to yourself. He says, verse 4, "Turn ye now." But they wouldn't listen. It's hard to find anybody who wants to listen to the truth. That's evident from the empty places in here this morning. And then He tells them this. Look at verse 5. Here's what He reminds them of. Their fathers, their forefathers, they're all dead. He reminds them of an appointment that everybody must keep. Your fathers, where are they? Those people who refused to listen to the earlier prophets, where are they? Your grandmothers and grandfathers and great-grandparents and going all the way back, these people who refused to hear, they refused to hearken. Let me ask you a question. Where are they? Well, I know where they are. They're separated from God. That's where they are. They're enduring the anger of the Lord. And then He says, and the prophets that you listened to, who lied to you. They told you peace, peace, but there was no peace. They said everything's all right. Jeremiah preached judgment is coming, and the false prophets said, no, it's not. God's a God of love. He's not going to punish anybody. Those men you listened to who lied on God, where are they? Do they live forever? No, they don't live forever. They exist forever, but they don't live forever. They perish too. But I'll tell you something that'll last forever. The Word of God. And that's what He talks about in verse 6. But my words and my statutes which I commanded my servants the prophets. The Word of God lasts forever. And that can be looked at in two ways. That is, Christ, the Word of God. He lasts forever. And the written word of God lasts forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. It lasts forever. Well, what was the issue? What was the issue? Here were people who would not hearken. They would not listen. And you need to understand what didn't happen. Now look at this. He says, my words and my statutes which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did not take hold of your fathers. What's got to happen? What's got to happen before people will really be interested? People will really follow Christ, fall in love with the Son of God, cast aside all other hopes for salvation and righteousness and acceptance. What's got to happen? The Word of God's got to take hold of you. That's what's got to happen. And that's both the incarnate Word and the written Word. The Lord Himself's got to grab hold of you. And if He ever takes hold of you, He will get your attention. And if the Word of God ever grasps you, if it ever arrests you, if you're ever arrested by God's free and sovereign grace, you'll say, I'm a welcome prisoner of grace. The Word's got to take hold of you. So here's what this means. Our only hope, your only hope of ever returning to the Lord is if He gets a hold of you. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him. Draw me, Lord. What's that song we sing sometimes? Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Draw me. Well, that's my prayer this morning. Draw me, Lord. Draw me with free and sovereign grace. Draw me by your mighty power. Oh, may you be a magnet upon my cold, stale heart and draw me to yourself, and then I'll live for your glory. And then the things of God will be of monumental interest to me. And that's when the Son of God will be made real to me as the only Savior of sinners who saved me by His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, and He who died arose and ever lives to make intercession for me. Draw me, Lord. Draw me to yourself. Let's get a songbook and turn to it for our last hymn, which is 118, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.